Life, and there's some copies up here if you'd like one. Just pass them out there. Raise your hand if you'd like a copy of this. It's called The Gospel-Centered Life, and the first unit, Hearing God's Word. And there are five or six lessons. We're starting this morning with why we read the Bible. My name is Tim Patterson, and my wife Dawn and I are new to the church here. We just became members this past September. We've been in Northfield about 6 years, but we're pretty new to this church. By the way, it was really a great service this morning, I thought. Dan, I don't know where you are, just a tremendous gospel presentation and about Jesus Christ, his first coming, but now his what we look forward to in the future. It was so good. And then the baptisms and the testimonies are so encouraging to hear those. So I just thought it was a great service. Appreciate all those involved in being a part of that. Greg, the normal teacher, Greg Strand, will be away for 4 weeks, I understand. So I was asked if I would take over the class for the next 4 weeks. So you'll need to bear with me for 4 weeks, and hopefully we'll all persevere through it. These books are something you can take with you and you can work on during the week and prepare for the coming Sunday. So you didn't have time, if you didn't have a book, to prepare for this lesson one, which begins on page 8 in your book, Why We Read the Bible. The text focus for this morning about why we read the Bible will be from Psalm 119. So if you have a Bible, turn there. The text is in your book. So you don't need to. There'll be some other verses we'll refer to in the course of the lesson. Before we go any further, let me ask again, if you've just come, anybody else want a book? Come on up or raise your hand, I'll throw it to you. Let me pray. Oh, Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. That was the prayer of the psalmist from the verse 18 of Psalm 119. And it's... That's actually when I do Bible study or have an opportunity to lead a study, I'll pray that prayer. Oh, Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, just like the psalmist. It's a great prayer as we prepare to read God's word, to study God's word. I'd like to have you think about a couple of questions right now, and then I'll want you to volunteer some response if you'd like to. The first question is, why do you read the Bible? Just think about that. Why do you read the Bible? If you do, I assume that most of you do. If you do, why do you read the Bible? Just think about it. I'll ask the second question, and then we'll get back to the first one. The second question is, why don't you read the Bible? let's admit it, that even for the best of us, when we are not working or sleeping or taking care of other needs, there are sometimes we just don't read the Bible. We'll pick up something else to read, we'll watch something on TV or be involved in something else, and we just don't read it. You know, I'm not making a judgment on that. It's just true about me. So, but first question is, you know, give me some response. Why do you read the Bible? Yeah, Scott. Yeah. So it's just the fact that this great God, God over all the universe, has actually revealed himself in a book. Okay. Yes, sir.
I like to read it in the morning.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
But he's speaking to me through.
Okay, read in the morning, first thing in the morning, have God in your heart in the morning. Okay. Why else? Yes.
I want to know him, not just know of him.
You want to know?
I want to know him.
Yes, want to know him.
Just knowing of him.
Yep, just so... You want to know him intimately,
yes.
Personally. Yeah. Okay. Not just about him.
I want to read the Bible a lot of times because I need renewed perspective on
mm-hmm.
things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten shifted off, and either I'm feeling hopeless or worried or
mm-hmm.
whatever, out
mm-hmm.
of control, and I just need to get back on thinking, okay, this is what God says. This is what I need to be thinking about, not all these other things.
So a renewed perspective, get a renewed perspective on things that are going on in your life. Okay. Karen.
I think I said when I was first became a Christian, I was told to read my Bible. So I think being a rule follower, I read my Bible. But I think as I have gotten older and grown, I think it's his word is life to us. I think he's a God who speaks and his word is living and active. It's sharper than any torch, so it's powerful. And his promises are real.
Mm-hmm. 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 How long have you been reading the Bible?
I started reading through it when I was born.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay, second question. Why don't you read the Bible? Anybody willing to, excuse me, comment on that? Yeah.
A lot of times it's because, you know, life is busy.
Yep.
I think that I don't have time.
Yep.
To read the Bible.
Okay. Life is busy, don't have time. Okay. All right. That's honest.
I say maybe sometimes because I know that I'm sinning or I'm doing something wrong. I know that if I go to read the Bible, it's going to, you know, make
me. There you go. There's even more honest. We can all relate, yeah. Afraid of what I might find if I read the Bible there. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes we put our priorities are right. We become selfish sometimes. And what we think is really important. And we just kind of follow that.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing. Hopefully this lesson today will just renew our sense of desire, need to read the Bible. So There's 3 points to the lesson. If you look through it, it goes over 3 points. 3 reasons why we read our Bibles that are proposed in this lesson. The first one is that we might know God better, just like what you were sharing a little bit. Secondly, that we might live in His will, understand what His will is, and live in that will. Number 3, that we might experience His joy, the joy that comes from reading and understanding His word and His will and who He is. I'd like to add this one, number 4. It's not in the lesson, but because, and it was somebody mentioned this, but because it's from God. I think, Scott, you were mentioning. It's from God. It's all, as Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, you know, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed that comes out of His mouth. It's His words. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for training in righteousness, for correction. In other words, it's profitable for all kinds of ministry. Anything that a person needs, God's Word provides. It really does. So, but you know, and I'm sure that most of you have experienced this, that it wasn't until you had come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ that you even desired to read the Bible. I know it wasn't until I was 20 years old, and it was just through some difficult experiences in my life that God gave me, or I had a keen desire to know Him. And then I heard Him say to me through His word, and as we read where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's when I came to Jesus Christ. And it was after that, even though I had a Bible, which I'd never read because I got it as I was growing up in church, but it was after that where it became real. It really alive. And I had a desire because it was telling me more about God, who I'd come to know. And I wanted to please Him. I wanted to live for Him. And I could read more about that. So the importance of the gospel, first of all, that a person that we, and for us who are older believers, we need to be reminded of the gospel continually, every day. And Dan, just like you were preaching this morning, we just need to hear this all the time and be reminded of where we've come from. And so the foundation of this whole lesson, I think, and why we read the Bible, the foundation is the salvation that we've experienced through Jesus Christ. And that's where it all begins. And we need to keep coming back there. Okay, the text mentioned is Psalm 119, 1 to 16. And Glenn's not there. I was going to have him put it up on the screen there. So, anyhow, we'll take a look at that. Maybe Dan's going to. I wanted to show you something on the screen that is not in your lesson. Maybe we'll get it up there. Okay. Page 9. Here we go. Here we go. Got it written out. You know, Psalm 119, many of you know this, that there are 22 stanzas, 8 verses apiece in Psalm 119. And it's according to the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. The first letter being, you'll see this upper right, Aleph. That's like our A in English. And so of these first eight verses, we don't see this in English, but we see it in Hebrew, that every verse begins, the first word begins with the letter Aleph. Can you see that? You know what? It's kind of turned around. It's not. It's not work. It's not. Go ahead and turn it off, Glenn. It'd be too confusing. It for some reason when I was having a hard time trying to copy this from a Bible program to something that I could project for you, but it just didn't come out right on the. It's my fault. It's on my paper. Anyhow, this psalm was made to make it easier to memorize. That's why it was composed the way it was. So you have the first eight verses begin, every word begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second eight verses with the second letter, Beit. And so forth. And there are 176 verses made to be memorized. And most Hebrew boys, at least at the time that it was written and probably in the time of Jesus, would memorize the whole psalm, as well as many other psalms in the law, the Torah. It's a little bit more difficult to memorize in English because we don't have that help of the first letter. But that's just a little background on it. So let's do this. Let's just read through these first 16 verses. The first two stanzas together, and then we'll go back and talk a little bit more about it. And let's read it through, pausing at a comma or punctuation. Verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with all their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. How many different synonyms can you count there for the word of God in these first 16 verses? What are some synonyms that are used? The first one being the law, or the Hebrew Torah, the law. What are some others? Sorry? Your way? Okay. Testimonies. All right. Yes? Statutes. Okay. Precepts, uh-huh. Rules.
Commandments.
What's that?
Commandments.
Commandments. Uh-huh.
Decrees.
Yeah, decrees. Uh-huh. Verse 9, your word. Also, verse 11, it says your word, but it's a different Hebrew word for those two. First one's dabar, second one is imra. So those are there's eight. There's really eight different synonyms in these first 16 verses. Some are repeated. And throughout the whole psalm, almost every verse has one of those synonyms for the law, for the word of God. Okay, the first point, the first reason that is presented in our lesson is that we read God's word to know him better. Now, as you look at this, these first 16 verses, what do you see there that helps you to know God better? Sorry?
Blessed are those
who keep them. Mm-hmm.
There's a blessing that comes for
doing
it. Mm-hmm. So there's a descendant. Mm-hmm. 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 And people clearly bully God because he cares about those things.
Anything else? You see?
I just think of, you know, keeping us from sin.
Keeping us from sin? Mm-hmm. He's found, isn't he? He's found by all who seek him. And we know that because in Christ we have found him, haven't we? Christ made it possible to really find him. He's the one who really lived the blameless life. Nobody has lived a blameless life. We cannot do that. We, by his Holy Spirit's work in our life, we live and we desire that, but there's only one who's lived a blameless life without blemish. That's Jesus Christ. And through his blameless life and our faith in him, we have found God. Well, the scriptures alone reveal who God is. Scriptures alone reveal truth about God, who he really is, and what he's done and what he will do. We heard this morning what Jesus has done and what he will do. And the scriptures reveal that. Through the scriptures, we read truth. We get to know him better, whom we know personally through Jesus Christ. So we read the scriptures to know, to be reminded of who Jesus is, what he's done. And again this morning, what was so clear in Revelation, what he will do. So, and the more that we do grow in our knowledge of who God is, the more we trust him. The more we love him, the more we walk in his ways. But it really begins with that coming to know him as our Savior, first of all. And then we grow through our reading the Bible of who he is, what he's done, what he will do, and the scriptures alone provide that in truth for us. The second point is that we read God's word. This is on page 11 in the lesson book. We read God's word to live according to his will. I think it's important as we read the Bible to learn and understand God's will. It's important, again, to remember that no one has nor will live the perfect, blameless life that God demands. His law demands that, but no one's ever done it except Jesus Christ. No one has lived fully according to God's will but Jesus Christ. He's done it for us. What we couldn't do, he did for us. Therefore, he became a suitable sacrifice for us, so that in him we stand blameless before God. That's the foundation for getting to know him better through his word and understanding his will. But the foundation is that right now, through Jesus Christ, who did live blamelessly before God, through faith in him, we also are found blameless through our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation for continuing in Christ, getting to know him better, understanding his will, and living according to that. Okay, let's take a look. I'd like to take a closer look at verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Stored up in the ESV, and I most often read the New American Standard. It says, your word I've treasured. King James says, your word I've hid in my heart. And that word, the Hebrew word, can mean stored up, can mean treasured, can mean hide, as these different translations. But I kind of prefer the word treasured. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. And I wanted to ask you, what does that mean to you? And what have you done in your life to treasure or to store up or to hide his word in your heart? What have you done? What kind of experience have you had in doing that? Or, what value has it been in your life? Just share a little bit. Talk about it. How can we do that? And what can you share from your life that would be encouraging? Yes, God.
Bible memorization,
okay. Okay. Okay.
Meeting with others.
So
I don't have a Bible and ask a question. I need to reference something. God's word.
Right. Yeah. Have you yourself had some sort of memorization plan or so that you've used or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I knew, as a younger Christian, I knew an older woman, and when I shared with her my struggle with anxiety, she just suggested I write a verse and put it. So I wrote Philippians 4, 6, and 7 about having no anxiety, and I put it on my mirror. So so that every time I brushed my teeth, I would see that verse. And she said put it someplace where you see it all the time. So even maybe on the dashboard of your car.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because one time I found myself, I had a toothbrush at the office, and I must have been feeling anxious because I went to the bathroom and I started to brush my teeth. And I just realized it was associating that behavior with that verse. And so I don't know, I thought, wow, this is more powerful than I thought.
I remember, I think I was in my mid-20s or so. I was working in a job to where I didn't have to give a lot of concentration. I could spend some time thinking about other things, and I decided to go through the Navigators topical memory system, 60 verses on different topics. Have anybody else done that before? Yeah, Karen? And it was really valuable. Even now, I will remember verses that I memorized at that time. And it's more difficult now as I try to memorize. I am working on memorization, but they don't stick with me as long or easy. But so the younger that we do that, but we're never too old for it. You know, I'm working on a book right now, a New Testament book that I'm memorizing. But anyhow, those are the mechanics, but the idea is that as we store up His Word, and a way to do that is, of course, to read, but to memorize. And so His Word is in our minds, and that the Holy Spirit in certain situations will draw upon that in our lives and at a particular need in different times. And then particularly when we need to know, what are we to do in this situation? What is God's will in this situation at this time in my life? That word that's been treasured, that's been hidden, that's been stored up, will come to us. And so that's the idea, I believe. That's second reason why we read the Bible, is to know, to understand, to remember what the will of God is. First one being to know Him better. Second one, to live according to His will. Okay, and then the third, we read the Bible because it gives us joy. Verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blessed, happy, prosperous. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, again, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. So, this is the blessed person, the blessed. And then in verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Delight, find pleasure, find joy. And in verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your words. So there's blessedness. The psalmist talks about blessedness in delight. Why do you think the psalmist took such delight in the testimonies of the Lord? Why?
Because it does bring hope and assurance.
He gave him hope and assurance. Right. Okay.
God is a happy being.
Yeah. There's a verse later on in the same psalm, verse 97, and I think about this from time to time when I think of the law of God. And let's remember that when he's talking about the testimonies and the statutes and the precepts and the law, he is talking really about what we would call the first five books of the Old Testament, which the Torah, or we call the Pentateuch. He was talking about that. We have that, and we have all the historical books, we have the prophets, and we have the New Testament. But he's not talking about all that. He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He's talking about those books and how he delighted in those. It was a great pleasure to him. And in verse 97, so inspiring to me. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. Oh, how I love your law." Isn't that amazing? It's just, he's talking about those. You ever read Leviticus and walk away from it thinking, "Oh, how I love this." Really, you know? That's what he's talking about, the law. But I remember as a young believer, and when I was fresh and young in the Lord and just reading through the Bible, I think I was reading through the Bible, the whole Bible, first time in my whole life, and I was in Deuteronomy. And I can't remember what I was reading there, but I do remember that it was just tears in my eyes, just seeing the faithfulness of God, the love of God for his people. And I wish I continued having that same experience as I read through those portions of the Bible. But, and I'm, I think there's a... I think what we see here is that those who love God will love his law, his word. And those who love the word, the law of God, will love him. It goes hand in hand. You can't separate the two. Oh, I love the Bible, but I don't love God. Oh, I love God, but I don't love the Bible. But they're together. And I think we see the same when Jesus said in John 14:15, he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So the love of the law, the love of the testimonies, the love of the precepts, the love of the word of God goes hand in hand with the love of God. They're together. Well, what have some of you done to make reading the Bible something that you enjoy and look forward to, rather than just being something you do because you have to do it, because you feel like you need to do it? And you must do it. But what are some things that really help, maybe if you're older in the Lord, restore, renew some of that joy and pleasure for you in reading the Bible? Yeah.
Well, when challenges come in life and you're facing difficult situations, yeah, whether in family or at work,
yeah,
you have a place to go. And it's exciting to go there, to find answers. What does God think about
this? Okay.
How do I deal with this?
Okay.
What would God want me to do?
Okay.
Another way is studying. You know, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. I want to go to God's word. I want to see what he says on this subject,
okay.
this particular thing. So there's that excitement of wanting to hear from God because we know how right and true and honest and faithful
okay.
he is. And to get that answer from him,
you
can't get any better.
Okay. So it's really the challenges of life and maybe the problems that really generate that excitement to go.
Yeah, because you want you to go there.
Yeah, right.
You want to deal with it rightly.
Right, right, yeah. And sometimes we can go to other sources, too, rather than, but we don't find that it's kind of like sawdust and compared to what God has to say about it. Yeah. Okay.
Easily got me more interested where I could read through the whole Bible. And I've since progressed to other versions, but it really was a helpful tool for me early on to understand it.
Okay.
And then later in life, just remembering that I love reading the Old Testament, knowing that it's part of my spiritual heritage, and that I want to meet some of these people someday. And
right.
Just cool that is as I read through the stories that they're real.
Yeah. That's interesting, yeah. Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think really I ask God to enable you to love
him. Okay. Just asking him.
I think a practice that helps me is to not just go through and read something quickly, but to spend time meditating over those verses.
Mm.
And then use that to pray over those verses and allow God to lead me in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Any other thoughts? Things that have helped you to enjoy reading the Bible. First point is that we read the Bible to know God better. We have a relationship with Him as our Father, but we read the Bible to know Him better. This one with whom we have a relationship. We also read the Bible to understand how to live, what His will is, and we store that in our hearts. And then we read it because of the joy of the enjoyment and the pleasure His Word is as we do read it and take time slowly to meditate upon it, pray over it. And it might be that it'd be helpful now just to, as you read to be praying that God would restore that, renew that joy that perhaps you had early on as a new believer in Him. In conclusion, I want us to remember that it was Jesus who came to fulfill the law, to fulfill the Torah of God. Jesus perfectly loved it, obeyed it, its testimonies, statutes, precepts, commandments, and rules, and He went to the cross in perfect obedience to the law, despising its shame, because His mind was set upon the joy before Him. We read this in Hebrews. He did that so that we might be accepted by God as holy and righteous in His sight. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So in Christ we are seen as having been completely obedient. His righteousness became our righteousness. God now looks upon us as righteous, blameless in His sight, because of Him who perfectly exemplified all that we read in this psalm. So, with this gospel message of what Christ did for this firmly in our hearts, we read the Bible so that we might grow to know our loving Heavenly Father who totally accepts us in Christ, understand His purposes and desires for our lives better, and for the joy of being reminded of who He is, what He's done for us, what He will do in the future.